Well, you better bring your A game now because you're going to have a problem with people sleeping in these nice new chairs. I said, I don't like to dwell on the negative, okay? I'm just excited by the fact that we can go to 3 o'clock this afternoon and you're comfortable. Okay? So, some of us remember the days of brown folding chairs and gravel parking lots, don't we? Huh? Anybody remember that? So, I hope our maturity in Christ exceeds our comfort in our bodies, maybe, huh? How about that? John chapter 14 this morning. I know some of you are a little impatient. We've been in the book of John for a long time. We'll be there sometime longer, it appears. I got hung up this week on one phrase. One phrase in John 14:31, and I'm still not over it. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Let me read verses 30 and 31 of John 14. Jesus is with his disciples, the 11. They are they celebrated the what we call the Lord's Supper, Last Supper. Judas is left to betray Jesus. It's just Jesus and the 11. And just hours before he will go to the cross, before he will die, is the setting of this. In verse 30 he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And here's the phrase, rise, let us go from here. Rise, let us go from here. How did Jesus get to this place? This place that he's going from. Here is what he called it. He's leaving here. He says to the 11, get up. We're going to go from here. I got caught up, well, how did Jesus get to this place? This place from which he was going. I don't mean, you know, walking down the street and going up to the third floor or something like that, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. How did he get to this place in his life? I came to see that the steps that he is taking, stepping into his the Father's will is what we're going to look at this morning. Stepping into the Father's will, there were four steps in getting him to the place that he was leaving from here. Obedience, preparation, perseverance, and purposed action. I looked for another P but couldn't find it, okay? Obedience, preparation, perseverance, and purposed action. Each of those have taken place in Jesus' life up until this point. You want to know something, disciples? Those four steps are steps that you and I, as followers of Jesus, also have to take. We're going to look at each of those this morning. Obedience, preparation, perseverance, and purposed action. So the time for Jesus to do what he came to do is now, at this time in his life. His focus, as he said, is on the Father's will. It's always been on the Father's will. His focus also has been on preparing the disciples. Because he's leaving. He said, I'm not going to talk with you much longer. I don't have many more words to say. Although if you have read ahead, he spends chapters, as we break it down, 15, 16, and 17, teaching the disciples still. And oh, you wouldn't believe the number of commentators who want to take that one on. Well, he said, arise, we're going to go from here, and then he spends three chapters still teaching them. I don't think it's a mystery. It's happened to you and me, hasn't it? You know, well, about time to go. Been good to see you. By the way, there's one other thing. That's kind of like, I think, what's going on here. But his preparation of the disciples must be. Because for the Father's will to be carried to the ends of the earth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, these 11 have to be on board. And that's why he's spending his time, this great amount of time, toward the end of his life preparing these 11. You know, at this point, as I was studying through this, I couldn't help but notice that Jesus didn't spend a lot of time with day-to-day living stuff. Did you notice that? I don't hear one thing recorded in Scripture. Well, who's going to clean up? Did you see what Andrew was wearing tonight? My goodness gracious. You know, I don't know why John got to be up there close to him and leaning on his chest as he ate. I don't know why John, why not me? And on and on and on and on and on. The daily activities, the stuff that distracts us when we are living our lives, the focus of our lives even, the priorities of our lives, that's not even on the table now. But that's what we tend to major on, isn't it? No, there's a bigger thing happening here. Jesus is going to fulfill the Father's will. Often our problem is that we are too busy living, doing life's activities and life priorities to even get close to the obedience and the preparation and the perseverance and the action, the purposed action of His will. You struggle with that? Think about it. Too busy living life to fulfill the will of the Father in your life and for your life? Tough, isn't it? I'm not throwing rocks this morning, folks. I'm sitting right beside you. That's a big challenge. Explore with me then this morning Jesus' example of stepping into the Father's will. The first step that Jesus had to take is a step of obedience. Actually, Jesus has lived his life obedient to the Father's will. The fact that he came and became flesh and dwelt among us was the Father's will. You know, there may be another plan, a different plan. It doesn't matter. The plan was that God would become flesh and dwell among us. And that's the Father's will. And Jesus is God in the flesh, and he did it. So he has been living in the Father's will for some time. Had he not been obedient up until this point, he's not eligible for this climatic event that is coming up. Because only a sinless sacrifice can go to the cross. Only one like Jesus, God in the flesh, could give his life for the sins of the world. One misstep in obedience, and he's no longer eligible. But he didn't take that step. You see, also for Jesus to obey, he had to know the Father. They are one. He has told us that on several occasions. But you know something, disciple? You and I have to know him before we can obey him. You and I have to know him before we can obey him. Lost people don't give a rip about the Father's will. They don't give a rip about the Father. The only individuals who are conscious of the will of the Father are those who are his disciples, those who know the Father. And you know, another thought occurred to me about this point. Should disciples even have to ask, "What is your will?" I think that's probably the most asked question that I've asked in my life, that I've heard asked, that I've spent time with folks as they have come and say, I need your help. I need to know God's will in this." And I thought, should disciples even have to ask What is your will? Jesus knew the Father's will because he knew the Father. I'll leave that one to you to chew on this week, but I think if we're following Jesus and we know the Father, that's not a question that should be on our radar screen. He will reveal his will to us when he's ready to reveal his will. He knew the Father. He's obeying the Father. He knew that the Father was about his plan of redemption, and that was to deliver his creation from sin. That's the issue here. His creation had sinned. They are lost and without hope. That's you and me, by the way. And there had to be a plan, and Jesus was an integral part of that plan, and the plan of the Father was to deliver his creation from the curse of sin. In doing so, he is going to bring glory to his name, the Father. And in his sovereignty, that's okay. Because he can bring glory to his name anytime he wants to. In fact, Jesus said, glorify your name a little bit earlier, a few verses. And the Father responded to him, I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again. If that troubles you, don't let it, okay? It's God. And the redeeming of his creation is going to bring glory to his name. And he is going to express his very character, which is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus is obedient to. He is the everlasting Son. He is the only begotten of the Father. So Jesus understood the Father's will. We will not obey the Father's will until we know the Father's will. And he will reveal his will to us. And even though he is God, he humbled himself and he became flesh and he obeyed. He knew the Father's purpose. He knew the cost of obedience also. We've touched on this before, but the cost for Jesus is that he is going to become sin, your sin and mine. And he is going to become sin, and when he does, the Father is going to turn from him. And that fellowship that existed before the foundation of the world is going to be broken, such that Jesus will cry off from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that fellowship is broken. It got dark for quite a while because something that had never happened happened. The cost of obedience is often very, very great. The second step is a step of preparation. Once we are committed to obey whatever he gives us to do, and that's going to differ. This is not just to be a preacher, okay? This is anything that's in his will for his kingdom purposes. There is going to need to be a time of preparation. You see, attempted obedience without preparation is just good intention. Oh, the people that I've bumped into through the years and the times in my own life I've caught this. Well, I'm gonna, or I wanna, and then fizzles. Nothing. Just want to, but don't. Good intention, but it often ends with not obeying because there's no preparation. What is preparation? Good question. The answer to that is it depends. For Jesus, it was becoming flesh and living as a man for 33 years on this earth. That was the preparation that he was making so that he could go to the cross and be the sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world. But preparation for you and me will not look like that. The sacrifice has been made. No need for a new sacrifice. That's not what we're going to have to do to prepare for the Father's will for our life. It will be different. It depends. It's usually situationally specific. You see, what we are called to do has specific skills and demands and understanding and abilities. And it's not just preaching or going to the mission field. Those could be calls, but they're not for every person. If that call for your life may be to have a singles ladies dinner. You think, come on. No, I'm serious. It can be as intricate as going across the street to take a dish to somebody who just got home from the hospital, to going to North Korea as a missionary. Not that that's greater than that. They're both calls of God. But whatever the call, preparation is specific to it. There are special skills and demands and understanding and abilities. We were with our kids over Thanksgiving, as most of you were. And I was listening, and Andrew said, I think we're going to Haiti. Okay. You could tell it was something passionate for him. You see, there is this island off of Haiti where they ship the poorest, the sickest, the whatever folks on Haiti, and the people who are on Haiti aren't in very good shape. These are the dregs of that culture and society. And a person in their church had gone down there to minister to the people on this island. And you can imagine the needs of those people. I said, what do they eat? The answer is whatever they can. They shipped them off there just to die. And they're sick and they're hurting, and the folks in their church have already gone there to set this up, and you could tell there was a call on his life. And he said, I'm going to Haiti because they need doctors in Haiti. And he's talking to his brother. And his brother, you could just see the call just kind of moving that direction. That's what it looks like. And there are skills and demands and understanding and abilities. I could go down to that island of Haiti, but I would not be able to help with all the sickness and the problems that those poor people have. I couldn't. Did he raise those two boys up for that alone in their lives? We'll find out. I don't know. But preparation is specific to the call that he has given you. God's call includes a call to prepare. That could be going to school. That could be buying a car. I don't know what it is. But there is preparation that goes with the call. So a call includes a call to prepare. And that preparation is unique. At a minimum, it is knowing Him, believing in Him as your Lord and Savior, knowing and believing His Word, and a commitment to a lifetime of prayer. That's the foundation. Beyond that, I don't know what it's going to be, but it is that. And it's through this exercising of these fundamentals that the Father can direct our lives regarding His call. You see, if Jesus hadn't obeyed and hadn't prepared as He did, He could not be acquainted with our grief, the Scripture tells us. He could not be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He could not call us to do what He was willing to to do, and that is obey the Father even to the point of death. He can't do those things if He didn't do them ahead of us. And had He not prepared, there would be no blood atonement for your sins and mine. Obedience, preparation. And then there's perseverance, the next step. Obedience, preparation, perseverance. How many know they've had a call from God? How many even went to the rigor of training, preparing, whatever that preparation was, to obey, and then they quit? Before the turn, that means when we turn the auditorium this way, it used to be turned this way, okay? There was a stage down here at this end. And I remember like it was yesterday, although it was probably 20 years ago, I don't know. There was a young man that stood at that end one Sunday. And he said, God is calling my wife and I to go to Russia as missionaries. And there was excitement, there was rejoicing, you know. And he had spent years in school over here preparing. And he was telling us that's what he was going to do. I don't think they were there a year. They quit. Too tough. Not familiar with the culture. No malls to shop at. I don't know if that was part of it, but surely was. I don't know, okay? The bottom line is, they didn't persevere. They quit. I'm not throwing rocks at the guy. I'm really not. But folks, how many times does that happen? And it may be something like that, or it may be something much smaller than that. There's a point of call, there's a point of preparation, but there's no perseverance. Maybe because of fatigue or discouragement or fear. Maybe because of self-focus. Maybe we're not respected enough. Maybe we're not appreciated enough. Maybe we get sidetracked or distracted. We get caught up in a tangent of the call. But we quit. Why does it really matter? The third step is perseverance. That means you persevere until He takes you home or gives you another call. That's how long it lasts. Jesus encountered all of these, this thing of perseverance. There are many places in Scripture we go, but one stands out is right after that big time event when He was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, the baptizer. He is baptized. God spoke from heaven. One of the few times He does. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God the Holy Spirit came and rested on Him. This is a big time deal. This is a big time deal. And then, as soon as He came up out of the water, He was taken to the wilderness. He fasted out there for 40 days. And then Satan himself came to Jesus. Why? To get Him out of the game. All He has to do, is make one misstep, and He is not worthy to go to the cross. And Satan encounters Him out there. After 40 days of fasting, you see, Satan thought, I'll get Him at the end when He's weak. Folks, you fast for 40 days, you're not weak. You're as strong as you can be. And Jesus was. Satan didn't know that. And He says, first of all, to him, you're hungry. My adding a little bit here, okay, the obvious. You haven't eaten for 40 days. You turn these rocks into bread. You can do it. I know who you are. You can do it. It's not a big thing at all. You deserve to eat. There's no bread out here, but you can make bread out of rocks. Turn these rocks into bread. That little thing right there would have relegated you and me to an eternity in hell without hope. Because Jesus would not be able to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. He is the only one that can and could, and he wasn't if he ate those rocks. Big deal, huh? Big deal. But he persevered. He persevered. He didn't yield to that temptation, as great as it was. I know too many folks who had a good intention and a good plan and great preparation, and they came up to the time, or maybe sometime during their walk in His will, and they made one of those bad decisions. And in doing so, they made themselves ineligible for continuing that walk. You can fill in the blank as to what it was. In Jesus' case, it was the bread. Satan also said to him, he said, I tell you what, you may not be that hungry after all. Come with me. Took him up to the high point of the temple. And he said, jump off. Jump off. Hundreds of feet down to the Kidron Valley, the rocks are there. And Satan said to him, jump off. Show off. Let everybody know what a big deal you are. One of your feet won't even hit one of those rocks. Come on. You can do it. You deserve it. You've been out here 40 days. You're Jesus. Go ahead. Be a big deal. Be appreciated for who you are. He did. He's persevering. And then the big one. Took him to a high place, a mountain, okay? Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I believe that those existed and those that would exist. And he said, all of these I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus, can you persevere through that test? Can you hang tough now? Now, Satan could do it. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's in control of these kingdoms. Go over and read in Daniel. The prince of Persia, come and tell me who that is after the service. All of these domains, these kingdoms, these cities, obviously are controlled by demonic forces. The prince of Persia, the prince of that prevented, was it Michael, from coming to him for 20-some days? Satan could do it. All he had to do was worship him. Satan had a good plan. That's what he wanted from the beginning. I will be like the Most High, remember? That was his plan. And now if I can get Jesus to worship me, then this whole thing is mine. Jesus, can you persevere through controlling everything in the world? Can you stay true to the call of God on your life? Praise God, yes. And he did. And the scripture says that after that one, Satan left him for a while. Perseverance is a big deal. Jesus had to often slip away to a quiet place to be with the Father. Why? Because of that fellowship that they had had from before the foundation of the world, he missed his Father. But also he needed to draw the strength of being with his Father. Don't try to persevere in his call with yesterday's manna, folks. You're going to have to persevere through his strength that you get from spending time with the Father also. without perseverance, you'll miss the reason that you are. The last step this morning, what I'm calling this purposed action. At some point, you have to get up and do it. At some point, you have to get up and do it. I was talking to a lady the other day, and just kind of one of those people that, you know, you bump into and that kind of thing, and we were just kind of exchanging kind of small talk, and something was said, and I said, do you have kids? Yeah, two grown kids. One lives on the East Coast, one lives on the West Coast. I thought, that's interesting. And she said, do you know they're still in school? I said, what? She said, they're still in school. They're like in their mid-40s or later, both of them still in school. And I thought, she said, I don't know. She said, I guess they just like school. Folks, not in the context of that lady and her kids, you got to do it. Jesus said, arise, rise, let us go from here. Oh, don't we have all of the good intentions that we need yet? Well, I want to. When I get this finished, I'm gonna. Right? I have some plans for one of these days, you know, when the kids are gone, then I'll rise, let us go from here. Here is not the purpose or the place. Wherever here is for you is not your purpose or your place at this time. If you know there's a place out there you're supposed to be. Rise. You have to get up. Sitting is not following. Sitting is not following. And go, not just anywhere, but where the Father reveals for you to go. You think, well, time out, guy, okay? I'm not a professional, neither am I. Neither is Andy. Neither is Chuck or Dwayne. We're not professionals. I don't know what that is. I know enough to know I don't want to be. With all due respect to you professional ministers, etc. I'm not against that. It's not for me. 25, 30 years ago, whatever it was, I know what the call was. Andy Yon knows what the call was on his life. We show up here on Sunday like you do. There's a lot of you spend a whole lot more time here than I do. Okay? I'm not against you being here. Okay? But I'm not here. I have a job. They pay me to do that, as most of you know. But this is the call on my life at this time in my life. I'm being asked that question the 65-year-old men are asked. Well, what are you going to do now? Well, who rang the bell? See, the Lord and I have a deal, all right? If you want to get rid of Wheeler, just pray that the Lord will take me home. That's the duration of our contract, okay? Until I can't, he will. In me and through me, okay? More than you wanted to know probably, right? Where? Where he shows you to go. Rise, let us go from here. The purpose can only be fulfilled if Jesus walks out the door and goes to the cross. Up until this time, he's done a lot of good things, miraculous things. Thousands of lives have been touched. Thousands, tens of thousands have been fed. There's been a lot of good stuff going on. But here is not where he has to be. Here is the cross. Here is where he is, but where he's going is the cross. The whole reason that he came, that he obeyed, the whole reason that he prepared, the whole reason that he persevered is to leave here and go to the cross. Disciple, God has a place and a plan for you now. Do we ever get that? Well, I'm just a lay person. Well, get out of the way then. Quit laying and get up and go. There's no such thing, a lay person. I don't know what that is. There are disciples, some of whom go to the far reaches of the mission fields of the world. Some preach, and then those who do something else in the kingdom's business. It's all kingdom business. The purpose, God's purpose, will not be fulfilled unless we rise and go from here, if here is not in the center of that call. Did you notice that Jesus' purposed action doesn't depend on the disciples? He said, I'm not going to be talking to you much more. He said, you know, this is about it for you and me. What was it he said? I will no longer talk much with you. The disciples are being marginalized now. They're not a part of where he's going. And only John will show up there, we know. Jesus' proposed purposed action is in his control. It's not even controlled by the ruler of the world. You see what he said there? He, I will no longer talk with you. The ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me. He said Satan is going to be present. Much of this is probably at his doing. But he doesn't control it. He doesn't control it. And he doesn't control it in your life and mine either, by the way. Okay? Jesus' purpose is to obey the command of the Father, so that my love for him, and thus our love for you, will be sufficient to forgive the sins that you have committed. And you can be like us, because I obeyed, I persevered, I prepared, and I'm going there now. You don't have to fill anything out this morning, okay? Like, okay, I'm going to do so-and-so. Nah, that'd be cheap, okay? But every disciple in here, I want you to spend some time this week. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And you don't have to answer the question. It's his question. To you, yours to him. Because you're the follower, you're the disciple. Lord, what would you have me to do? What is it, Doug, we like to say? Ask God to interrupt our lives with one person who needs Jesus Christ. Right? That's his job. You don't have to make it happen. And it's going to look different. I don't know what it's going to look like. But would you at least ask him? Get quiet, get alone. Tomorrow morning, I'd hope. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then what do? Listen. Wait. All right. Some of you are going to find that the whatever you thought you were going to do, he changes. Can he do that? He's God. But I want you to do that, every disciple in this room this morning. Lord, what would you have me to do? So that you can say with him, rise, let me go from here. Let's pray. Father, I'm so glad that Jesus went from where he was. That he left that room, those close friends, and he went to the cross. Had he not, we would be lost and without hope. But he did. And as his followers, we have the same steps to take that our Lord took. Obedience, preparation, perseverance, and action. Call unto us, Lord, I pray, on an individual basis. And Father, for those who have already followed those steps and are serving you today with all that they are, encourage their hearts today. Even though they're not appreciated in their minds, even though they may be tired, come along beside Holy Spirit and encourage their hearts today. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name.